world of soccer. Talk Radio is here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarea. Thanks for tuning this one in here on Sports Byline. You can also subscribe to World Soccer Talk Radio on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And tweet us at World Soccer Talk. Tweet yours truly at NateWST. Let us know who you think is going to win it all in the Women's World Cup. Who you think is going to take Copa America. Let us know what you think about the summer transfer window in the Barclays Premier League and elsewhere in the world. How about MLS Rivalry Week? We're going to talk about that later in the show. Bobby McMahon is our guest in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. We've worked for quite a while to get Bobby on the show. I am absolutely ecstatic to have Bobby as a guest. A voice, a formidable voice for yours truly. Someone that taught me the game in so many ways growing up watching the Fox Soccer Report, the Fox Sports World Report, and all those great folks up there in Canada. Jeremy St. Louis, Michelle Lissel, Bobby McMahon, all the folks who are part of the Fox Soccer Report. Bobby's still doing his thing up there in the Great White North, and so we're going to talk with Bobby about the Women's World Cup, the host nation Canada getting knocked out at the hands of England. And I talked about this on Twitter this weekend, the undertones of colonialism in the World Cup 2015 Women's World Cup up in Canada. You had France getting knocked out by Germany in perhaps the best game, what might even all the way to the final might be the best game in the whole tournament, matchup of two teams who many people had pegged to meet in the final. France knocked out of the hands of the Germans on penalties in Montreal. France knocked out in Quebec. Later that day, England knocks out Canada in Vancouver, British Columbia. There was something about England defeating Canada in British Columbia that just made me cringe slash smile. The undertones of colonialism in the Women's World Cup. How about the weekend of penalties in Copa America? Argentina and Paraguay into the semifinals. Colombia and Brazil out of this thing. Argentina taking on Paraguay, Chile and Peru in the other semifinal. You gotta love it. Copa America and Women's World Cup hitting the home stretch. Bobby McMahon with us on the other side of this break. It's World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a two-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from seven different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Steiner Sports is the most trusted sports collectibles company in the country, carrying exclusive items from your favorite teams and athletes. Commemorate the Golden State Warriors championship win with exclusive prints and canvases featuring Warriors star Stephen Curry and championship MVP Andre Iguodala. For this week only, shop SteinerSports.com and use promo code CHAMPS20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's SteinerSports.com, STEINERSPORTS.com, with promo code CHAMPS20 for 20% off your purchase.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarea. Pleasure and a privilege to be joined by one Bobby McMahon in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. Bobby, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. It was quite the footballing weekend all around, the Western Hemisphere, quite a bit going on off the field over in Europe. But between Copa America and, of course, the Women's World Cup, so much glorious, glorious football this past weekend. What do you say some of your highlights of this past footballing weekend were, Bobby?
Well, most of my focus was on the fact that I'm based in Canada and the fact that the Women's World Cup is up here. Most of my kind of viewing was round that. I caught a little bit of the Copa America. I've kind of put MLS on a little bit of hiatus at the moment because, as we all know, there is a limit to how much you can watch in a day. But it was the Women's World Cup. I thought it was a real contrast. I thought particularly the games on Saturday when we had Japan and Australia. And the later game, Canada and England battering each other to the point of oblivion almost. And then before that, we'd seen the Japanese put on a display that was Australia did very well to keep with them. But the way the Japanese moved the ball and the way they just move as a team and have that commitment to that philosophy, it was just a joy to watch. And I think pretty much an indication of where the women's game is going and why it and an indication of how far it's come in a matter of only a matter of years. You go back 10-15 years, there wasn't really the kind of level of technique that you see, but you can watch France, you can watch even to the Dutch to some extent, Australians, and the Japanese being the absolute ultimate at the moment is the way they cherish that ball and move it around is a joy to behold.
Well, let's get right into the host nation being knocked out at the hands of England. And I joked about this in the opening, the undertones of colonialism in this Women's World Cup. When you look at these matchups, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, England playing Canada in British Columbia. It doesn't get much better than that from a historic perspective. But as far as the football, as far as the soccer on the pitch, Canada knocked out by a 2-1 scoreline, two early goals from the English. Talk about what you took in from this match, how you saw it, what you thought Canada's demise was, and what you're making of this incredible run from England. An English team making it to the semifinals of the World Cup. You know it's not the men.
Yeah. it's okay. They'll go out on penalty kicks in the semifinal. It was actually, strangely enough, I've done a number of radio interviews over the last few weeks. It kind of started with the FIFA situation. It's kind of one after another. But I was on a soccer show on Friday, and I had the utmost confidence that Canada were going to beat England because I thought, essentially, you had peas from the same pod. And with the fact that they were playing at home and the defence had been so tight up to now, to be honest, the English centre-backs had not impressed me. I thought this was actually the one game that I felt really confident Canada was going to win. Against Switzerland, for example, against Ramona Bachmann and Lara Dickinson up front, I thought that was actually a game I was quite concerned about. But as it turned out, the kind of rock-solid Canadian defence finally got caught out, and it got caught out with the one player who hasn't been rock-solid, and that's Lawrence Esselman, who made a comment on a Forbes article yesterday that she's a player whose ability or confidence doesn't exceed her ability, and she finally got caught out. She overplays the ball, she makes bad decisions. Up to now, she's got away with it, basically because Erin McLeod behind her and Buchanan beside her, but it finally all came back to roost. I think particularly when they made that mistake right after Tancredi had missed, it was a pretty good opportunity. The crowd had absolutely risen after Christine Sinclair had performed a bit of magic out in the sidelines, a couple of nutmegs, just a glorious pass to Tancredi's feet. It would have been a pass that anybody, any gender, would have been proud of. It was absolutely spectacular pass right to feet. Tancredi didn't even hit the net. Within minutes to go up, Sesselman makes a mistake. And then defending set pieces kind of caught them out. I thought it was quite an intelligent move from England, because obviously the isolated Chapman, who is one of the smaller players, and Lucy Bronze got in the you know, basically just out-muscled her. And then at 2-0, you're 2-0 down, you're 15 minutes gone in the game in a quarter-final. Now, it's a position you could recover from, but the chances of recovering from it are pretty slight. The Sinclair goal before half-time certainly rejuvenated the crowd, but I thought the second half, actually, England were fairly comfortable. Yeah, they got, the last 10, 15 minutes, it was kind of hit-it-anywhere syndrome as far as the defence was concerned. But all in all, I don't think Canada imposed the kind of pressure they need to impose to threaten to crack the English defence, and that came back to haunt them. And I think, when you add it all up, you start seeing very, very clearly, despite the media's comments in Canada, that this is an extremely limited Canadian team, that I think John Herdman took a long way based on heart and willpower. But if the Canadian soccer program, particularly, and this applies to men and the women, but if the Canadian soccer program doesn't really shape up and start developing players with technique, it's quite clear that even at the women's level, we're going to get left behind pretty damn quickly.
Well, Bobby, we've got about 2 minutes left here before we got to head to break, and so we can continue this on the other side of the break, but you segued into something there, and I'm very curious to get your thoughts on this. How would you rate Canada's performance as a host nation here in the 2015 Women's World Cup? And when I say as a host nation, I'm combining the team on the field, the coaches, the fans, who I thought were outstanding, no matter what city or region they were in, but also factoring in even the artificial turf debacle. How would you rate Canada's performance as the host nation of the FIFA Women's World Cup?
Average, not much better than average. I thought the whole artificial turf situation set it off on the wrong foot. It was a bad decision. It was a ill-conceived decision. It was badly managed. It was badly handled. I'm based in Winnipeg. I went to a number of games in Winnipeg. I was also up in Edmonton, and I saw the Canada-New Zealand game in Edmonton. The level of preparation for the United States fans in Winnipeg was almost non-existent. So you're getting quite a bit of media spin through FIFA and the CSA just now about record attendance. The record attendance is a contrived number, because they're counting how many tickets they sold and they're doubling it, suggesting that everybody who bought a ticket watched two games, so they count double. So there's a lot of spin doctoring going on. But the word before this World Cup was CSA were serious about putting forward a World Cup bid for 2026. And who knows, they might well go forward with it. But I don't think overall they've done themselves very much good by this World Cup. I would put it as average.
Average, the word from Bobby McMahon up there in Canada. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the Women's World Cup on the other side of this break. Break down the semifinals between England and Japan, and of course the USA and Deutschland, the Americans and the Germans. Is there another level for the USA team? Will that killer instinct return for the American women, or is it gone to not be found ever again? And will the Germans just wipe the floor with the USA? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Get some background on Bobby McMahon's career as a broadcaster, as a soccer pundit. What took him to Canada back in the first place? More with Bobby McMahon right here on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you tired of network announcers who are clearly pulling for the other team? Check out Rabble.tv, a new kind of television experience where you are in control of the audio. Rabble.tv allows users like you to broadcast your insights and opinions about sports and entertainment, free from the restraint of network predictability. Rabblers are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. Mute your TV and do your own play-by-play, provide running commentary, or just banter with your buddies. Or you can listen to other fans who love your team as much as you do. It's live, it's new, it's Rabble. Rabble.tv.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Nate Abarea with Bobby McMahon talking about the FIFA Women's World Cup. And we've broken down the quarterfinals. It's time to move in to the semis. We'll get to USA Germany after England and Japan. Bobby, can this magical English run carry on all the way to the final, or will the organized, and I mean organized, Japanese team that you really praised quite highly in the opening segment, will Japan be too much for the Lionesses to handle, and will it be Japan in the final? Who you got in this one, and why?
Well, I think I would take Japan. I think The downside, perhaps, of the Japanese performance is they've cut it pretty fine up to now. That's 5 wins all by a single goal. So you've got to take that into consideration. But you also have to look at the other side. The reality is this is a knockout tournament, and history of the game is full of surprises and shocks, and the best team, the best country down the years has not necessarily won the World Cup or the European Championships or the Champions League. There's a certain amount of serendipity, and there is this kind of momentum you gather and self-belief that's sometimes gathered by teams and countries as they move through the tournament. You look at Greece in 2004 being the excellent example of that, but you do have other examples down the years. West Germany in 54 beating, you know, the unbeatable or supposedly unbeatable Hungarians. You just have to go back 4 years in the women's tournament to see Japan. Japan flew under everybody's radar. Very much a surprise when they beat the Germans in the quarterfinal, and then continue to go through. And even when it came down to penalty kicks against the United States, I think most people would have still been thinking the United States were going to win that game, and Japan prevailed on penalty kicks. So I don't think as confident as you can be about your picks, you can never be cast iron certain about it. It's not a league championship, it is knockout. And the break of a ball here and there, you take it to penalty kicks, there's a sending off here, who knows what can happen. And so the fact that you're in the semi-final has got to give England incredible encouragement, because that would, I think, very much be the target for them. So they've got very little to lose. They'll give it great effort. Personally, I think the Japanese will wear them down. And I think their movement and their passing is going to be hard for the English to cope with, but break here, break there, and it could turn England's way. Though, as I said, I think Japan would be favoured to go through, and those certainly be my pick. But nothing is certain.
Would you get how much? I have to ask you this because we joked about it a little bit earlier in the show. Would you crack a smile or get a little bit of enjoyment if the English women were knocked out on penalties in a semifinal?
No, I think most people would give it a seen this one before, I guess it would be somewhat ironic if that happened. But you would hope under Mark Sampson that lessons have been learned from previous competitions and previous tournaments, and that the English women have been hard at work, making sure they can hit the target and making sure they've got these penalties absolutely honed down to the best level they can. I know there's always a lot of discussion around penalty kicks, and people say you can't practice them because you can't replicate the pressure. I've always thought that's really a stupid statement, because if that case, golfers wouldn't practice putts and you wouldn't practice golf swings. There's a certain amount of confidence built up, and you're never going to replicate the tension, but there is a certain thing, a certain degree of muscle memory that goes into it. So the more you practice and the more success you have, the better chance you're going to have come penalty kicks.
I love the multiple sport analogies there. Golfers wouldn't practice putts. Basketball players wouldn't practice free throws. I think it is. I'm with you on that. It is a bit of nonsense. You can practice penalty kicks. Take the German women, for example, who practice penalty kicks religiously, and they literally do not miss. And they made it into the semifinals after that dramatic penalty shootout against France back on Friday. Thanks, by the way, for that shout-out to the miracle of Bern back in 1954, the West Germans defeating the unbeatable Hungarians 3-2 in Switzerland in that final. One of the greatest and often most overlooked World Cup finals in footballing history. All right, it is time to move to the semifinal on everybody's mind here in America, and that is USA and Germany. Germany, I'm going to say, is heavily favored in this one. They are the unbeatable Germans here, although France nearly did the trick, taking them all the way to the penalty shootout, taking them to the distance in Montreal the other day. But the big question with this U.S. team for every American fan, Bobby, is this: where's the killer instinct question? Where is the killer instinct? Is there another level for this team, or are we seeing just what they're made of. Are we seeing over these last few games, this we keep bringing up this glass half full, glass half empty kind of mindset? Well, you know, they haven't allowed goals. Oh, they're all the way into here. God, but something's missing. Is it a possibility that we're just seeing the team as good as they could possibly be, and the Germans are just going to wipe the floor with them?
There's a number of questions in there. Maybe I'd start off with saying maybe, and I've thought about this because I've written a number of articles about the United States performances so far in the World Cup. And so I've been thinking, put a bit of thought into this. I'd throw this out as a suggestion after watching this for a couple of weeks. It's maybe our mindset needs to change a little bit, and maybe our mindset is still focused around the days when the United States went the World Cup and would kind of cruise through the section by winning 3-4-0, and that became our expectation. Maybe times have changed, and maybe it's a little bit of the edge going off the United States attack, but maybe it's, as we've seen in men's soccer over the years as well, teams just get better organized. And when you get better organized, the first place you start with is defensively. So we talk about no game is easy. In reality, it's some parts of these games are easy. The most difficult bit, though, is breaking down a solid defense that's well organized. So maybe our expectations over the years of the blowouts, we certainly saw a couple of them in the World Cup. We saw Switzerland run up 10, and we saw Germany run up 10 as well. But generally, I think the scores haven't necessarily been as high as I expected with the expansion of 24 teams. So I kind of throw that out as maybe our expectations are getting out of kilter with reality as the rest of the world begins to catch up. The other thing I think we have to take in consideration now is we're past the stage where that really matters, because it can come down, and it possibly will come down to just one goal. And if you do not concede, the only way that you're going to lose is going out on penalty kicks. And the longer you go without conceding, the better chance you've got of snatching that goal. And so, any concern about going, nobody's going to be particularly bothered if they beat Germany 1-0. Nobody is going to be saying we're with 3 or 4 goals. So the whole dynamic of that tournament, or the positioning of the United States in the tournament, has now changed because we're in the last couple of games. So it's a case of what's gone before has gone before, and just let's focus on getting the job done now. I think Jill Ellis has been somewhat experimental against the two knockout games, in fact, to some extent against Colombia, but certainly against China, bringing in some fresh legs. The interesting thing is what's she going to do against Germany? Is she going to go back to the experience of a Lauren Holliday and maybe drop Morgan Bryan to the bench, or is she going to go with the fresher legs? She'll certainly be trying these things. And the reality is Abby Wambach is 35 and can't do it for 7 games over a period of about 4 weeks, playing 90 minutes, perhaps even more when it gets down to extra time in some situations. So I think there's certainly elements that have been less than impressive is about the United States performance, but the one thing that has absolutely been rock solid, apart from a few minutes, I think, against Australia in the first game, has been their defence. And Hope Solo has been rarely troubled, and a lot of that has been down to the central defence, and particularly, I think, Julie Johnson, who has been absolutely a star of this tournament. Her performances have been absolutely beyond what I think anybody expected. So there are the strengths going into this game against Germany the United States bring to it, and I don't see it as being quite the overmatch as some people seem to think it is. I think they're in with a pretty good chance. The Germans were quite fortunate to get through the French game. The French did a great job of isolating Mittag and Sasic and didn't allow them to get very much support. So as the French showed, and I think Norway to some extent as well, the Germans do have their off days as well, and are beatable.
Well, I love the idea of taking the blueprint from what Norway did against Germany, which was actually, you know, play a match where in many ways Germany was the better side, but Norway was just valiant out there and stayed relatively stern at the back and were able to scrape that 1-1 draw back in the group stage. And you look at what France did in the quarterfinal the other day as another potential blueprint for the USA. But I just got to clarify before we go to break here. You know, I'm guilty there of being such a pot stirrer, you know, and throwing this stuff around about the lacking of the killer instinct for the U.S. team, because that's what everybody wants to hear and wants to talk about. This team has not allowed a goal since their first game. I mean, can you have a better defensive situation than what Jill Ellis has managed to put together, what the players have put together? Hope Solo making saves, but then oftentimes not even being tested out there in these matches. So credit to the USA back line. I am in the glasses half full camp, I like to think, as we go in to this Germany encounter in the semifinal. More with Bobby McMahon right here on World Soccer Talk Radio on the other side of this break. Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
Musicians, this is it. Guitar Center's 4th of July savings event. Save up to 50% off the best selection of gear on the planet. Everything you need to make music. Get incredible deals like an Epiphone Les Paul or acoustic guitar for just $99 or a Mapex Piccolo snare drum, now just $49. And for 4 days only, save up to 15% off qualifying products with a coupon from GuitarCenter.com, including savings on clearance gear. Plus, grab your copy of The List with hundreds of deals too low to advertise publicly. Thursday through Sunday at Guitar Center. Don't miss it.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
Want to be the next great sports announcer? Check out Rabble.tv, where you call the action. You already know more than the guys on TV. It's time to show the world what you can do by sharing your insights and opinions about the sports you love, like football, baseball, basketball, soccer, MMA, wrestling, and more. Everything from the biggest matchups in the world to a game right in your neighborhood. Join other Rabblers who are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. So mute the audio coming from that network guy who never liked your team anyway, and let us hear what you think. Rabble.tv.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarea. More with Bobby McMahon here in this segment, talking about Bobby's background in the soccer world. But first, we got to talk about Rabble.tv Copa America final. courtesy of the folks at Rabble. What's the best way to celebrate the 4th of July in the U.S. of A? Well, if you're a soccer fan, how about Copa America, the final of the grand tournament taking place down in Santiago, Chile? Will it be Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, or Peru that will be crowned champions? Whoever it will be, we would like to invite you to join Argentine soccer expert Sam Kelly, a good friend of World Soccer Talk Radio, a featured guest on this program. Join Sam Kelly on Rabble.tv for a real fan's perspective. Rabble.tv, the concept is simple. All you have to do is tune into the broadcast on TV, press the mute button, and then head on over to Rabble.tv to listen to soccer fans sharing their analysis. And if you have an iPhone, be sure to install the Rabble TV app today. Add a comment to the broadcast message board, then listen live via the app on Saturday. So mark your calendars. Saturday, July 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. of A, and celebrate the Copa America final with Sam Kelly live from his apartment in Argentina on Rabble.tv. God, I love the work that Sam Kelly has done with Rabble. Great stuff with Sam Kelly doing the River Plate Boca Juniors Copa Libertadores fiasco back a couple of months ago. And so join Sam Kelly for the Copa America final on Rabble.tv Saturday, July 4th, coming up in just a few days. Bobby McMahon, we have talked all about the Women's World Cup. I want to take the remainder of our time together here in the show to talk about your background in soccer, in broadcasting, and what took you originally to Canada. Let's start with that. If I'm not mistaken, it was the late 70s or early 80s. You immigrated to Canada. Talk about what took you to Canada in the first place, and then what made you stay.
I rather flippantly say it was Margaret Thatcher's fault. it wasn't very good economic times, and Thatcher was just on the point of being elected. And I'd actually, my mother and father, my brother and my sister had actually moved a couple of years before, and it kind of came to the stage where I was finishing college and I was going to have to actually work for a living, and the prospects did not look good at the time. So the fact that they were in Canada seemed to kind of make a natural It seemed to be a natural move, so I came over holiday in 78 and hooked up with some guys, a soccer team over here called Winnipeg Thistle, and there was a number of people from actually quite close to where I grew up in Dundee that were playing for the team. I didn't know them at the time, but they'd played for teams that I knew of. A couple of them had played senior. One of them had actually scored the goal against Dundee in the Dundee Derby, which I still never forgiven them for. But there was also a couple of guys that played really good level, good junior football level. And so I kind of hooked up with them and made sense to come across. So I came across and started playing soccer across here. But you got to remember, these times in late 70s, early 80s, it was a case of listening to the British Broadcasting Centre, listen to the BBC by shortwave radio if you wanted to know how your team had done, or you had to phone home. And there was, you know, dog-eared papers passed around, or magazines passed around each of the team members so they could read something that was maybe 4 or 5 months old. But such was the desire for information of what was happening back home in terms of the football. And so, you know, bit by bit, it started getting better and better through the 80s. So up in Canada, we got TSN went on the air, which is essentially the Canadian equivalent of ESPN. And we started getting games, or maybe a week old, but we're starting getting games. They broadcast the World Cup in 82, which was important. Recording machines came along. The old, it wasn't God, I can't even remember. The old tape machines you used to plug in and codes you could watch, you know, and somewhat tape delay. So there was all sorts of opportunities beginning to develop. But by that stage, I was really no place near the media. I was just playing away and enjoying myself, and eventually got into coaching and coached some local teams, went to nationals a couple of times, and it was just generally that. The media piece was it just a series of happy accidents for me?
Well, talk a little bit more about that series of happy happy accidents. How did you go from a footballer and an aspiring player and living this new life in Canada? How long did it take, and how did it evolve into you developing a career as a pundit, as a broadcaster, as a journalist? And where did you cut your teeth in those departments up in the Great White North?
Well, it's probably one of the weirdest stories you'd ever come across. But I was actually assistant general manager of a radio station in Winnipeg, and the AM side of the dial was sports and news information, and we had an FM channel, and it was 1994, and essentially the sports consist of hockey and football and hockey and football and hockey, and maybe basketball now and again. So that was the level of the knowledge of the sports department. And the World Cup was coming along in 1994 in the United States, and I kept on prattling on and absolutely bugging the hell out of them, telling them that the World Cup in the United States was a big deal and they'd better get ready for it. And I was kind of completely ignored until about a couple of days before the kickoff. And if I remember rightly, the first game in the World Cup in 94 was a Friday. So this was probably somewhere around Thursday, the day before. And the gentleman that used to run the sports show that used to run it over the supper hour basically sort of knocked on my door one day and said, "What are you doing tonight?" I said, "Well, I probably worked till about 5:30, then I'm going to go home and, just potter around." He says, "No, you're not. You're coming on the show with me tonight." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You're right, the World Cup is big and we need somebody to talk about it." And so that's what started it. So we did the show on the Thursday night, and essentially over the next 3 and a bit weeks, that became not just a nightly show, but it became part of, I started going on the morning show. I started doing cuttings for FM. Essentially, I took my normal duties as assistant GM, and they got supplanted for the World Cup guy. And it kind of even expanded across that, because the word went out that we were part of a chain of radio stations. So the word went out that somebody seemed to know what they were talking about. So if you want to talk to somebody about the World Cup, you could maybe get me on. So suddenly I was in Toronto, I was in Calgary, I think it was even in Vancouver as well at some point. And so it just kind of blossomed from that. And we did 96. By that time I'd left the radio station. I'd gone to work for the Pan American Games Organizing Committee, Winnipeg was hosting the Pan Am Games in 1999. So I went over there as chief operating officer eventually. But I kept on doing some radio stuff. 96, we did European Championships. 98, I did France. And just before France, 98, I got a call from one of the local newspapers that asked me if I could write a column. Well, wrote a column, and it was supposed to be World Cup, and it finished up lasting 5 years. So I kept on kind of having my hand in this stuff and doing a little bit on the side in radio and newspapers. And then I was up in Edmonton in 2001. I was vice president of venue operations for the World Track and Field Championships. And I got a call from one of the local stations in Winnipeg saying that they'd got a license to develop a rugby, cricket, and soccer channel. And it was going to be called Fox Sports World Canada. And it was going to be broadcast out of Winnipeg, which was absolutely perfect for me. And they needed somebody, quote-unquote, to fill in Thursdays because it's going to be quiet. that was the level of the enthusiastic response that I engendered from their management. So we went down and did a little bit of a test and seemed to pass with flying colours, or seemed to be deemed acceptable. So for about the first year, we did this show in Canada called SportsLink, and I would come on every Thursday. The deal was that if they needed me on, they'd phone me by 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we'd come up with what we were going to talk about, and I'd go down to the studio and we'd talk about it. And so we did that for the first year. And then because Fox Sports World Canada was under a license and agreement from Fox Sports World in the United States, Dermot McQuarrie, another Scotsman who was executive producer or head of production for Fox Sports World in the United States at that point, had been on the lookout for a soccer news show, and he felt that with a few tweaks, SportsLink could do it. And so over a period of time, First of all, we went on and were broadcast to the States, which was obviously a massive move. And then bit by bit, we started evolving and developing until we actually became Fox Soccer Report, which I think is what most soccer people remember us as. But at the beginning, we were a bit of rugby, a bit of cricket, a bit of sailing, a bit of Dakar Rally, you know, you name it. It was a conglomerate of anything that wasn't
quality cycling coverage, quality coverage of Le Mans racing. It was fantastic. I remember it dearly. And we had Jeremy St. Louis on the show back a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was. And I always had to be careful. You know, Jeremy says, you know, Nate, you're making me feel so old telling me, Jeremy, I grew up with you on the Fox Soccer Report, on the Fox Sports World Report. And so, you know, at the risk of making you feel old, Bobby, I got to tell you, I get a little sentimental here with you. Growing up with my father back in Santa Cruz County, every night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, it was you, it was Michelle, it was Jeremy, some other folks that were part of that crew. You guys were truly, as I told Jeremy that day, you guys were part of our dinner pretty much every weeknight. And for that, thank you so much, and learned so much about the game through your expertise. And just to share that was the same thing actually that Jeremy St. Louis talked about on the show, is how much he actually learned about the game of soccer through just sitting next to you during those shows. I thought that was fantastic. We got under 3 minutes left here with you, and so there's two things that I want to ask you. It's a two-part.
Yep.
First off, can you share first memory that comes to mind when you think about being in Scotland in the 70s, what's looked at by many people as a glory period of Scottish football? What's the first thing that pops into your head when you think Scottish football in the 70s and being there for much of it?
I think it has to be World Cup 74 and actually getting there. The game against Czechoslovakia that took us to the World Cup, which was in September of 73, and Joe Jordan's winning goal. The last World Cup appearance for Scotland was 58. I was too young at the time. The 60s, we had some great, great players, but we'd never got to World Cup. To actually go there and come home unbeaten, but to be part of the party was absolutely outstanding. Yes, you know, with 78 Argentina, which was a bit of a debacle, but we're still a pretty good side. And that Scottish team through the 70s, it just shows you how far Scottish football has fallen. But that team during that middle part of the 70s was a very, very good team, and one that struck fear in the heart of many, many teams around the world. But that's the one that sticks for me, was the international side and going to the World Cup in 74. And as much as being there, but in the process of getting there and what it meant to the country and people that followed the game for a long, long time to eventually and finally get to the party.
All right, now here is the $64,000 question. It could be an easy one, but I just can't wait to hear your response to this. Hypothetically, World Cup 2018, or even we move forward, World Cup 2022, it's a final playoff between Scotland and Canada for a World Cup spot. Who are you polling for, and will it be easy for you to poll for one side or the other, seeing that you are a true Scottish-Canadian man through and through, with all the years that you've lived in the Great White North, but your roots in Scotland? Scotland-Canada in this amazing hypothetical, a little bit far-fetched, but a World Cup spot on the line between the Tartan Army and the Canadians. Who are you pulling for, Bobby McMahon?
I think it'd be pulling for waking up out of that dream, because at the moment both countries are pretty far away from it. Although Scotland might make the European Championships. Well, it's such a difficult question, because you could sit down and do pluses and minuses on that. But I think, you know, the fact that I have to live here and I pay taxes here, I think I'd go for Canada in that one.
There you have it. I'm telling you, they're both qualifying. Come on, Canada. Come on, Scotland. I got Scotland going into the Euros. I'm telling you, Bobby, they've got a leg up in that group of death in the qualifying. I could see Scotland getting in to France 2016, and I sure hope so. Bobby McMahon, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Hope we can do this again soon, and best of luck closing out the FIFA Women's World Cup and the rest of summer up there in Canada, and all the best to you, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on.
Cheers to Bobby McMahon. We're with you to close this thing out on the other side of this break, talking MLS Rivalry Week as we take the express train home here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Come on, you Quakes!
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Another huge thank you to Bobby McMahon for joining us on the show. One of my football broadcasting heroes and someone who helped teach the game to yours truly growing up watching the Fox Sports World Report and the Fox Soccer Report. Cheers to you, Bobby. We are going to take the express train home now, and I haven't had a chance to talk about this all show, and I'm going to spend this final minute with you right now heralding Major League Soccer, praising Major League Soccer. That's right, coming from me, Mr. supposed MLS hater. Did you watch MLS Rivalry Week this past weekend? Did you see San Jose defeat the Galaxy 3-1 at Stanford Stadium? Red Bulls 3, NYCFC 1, Portland 4, Seattle 1. This big, highly promoted Rivalry Week, it lived up to the hype and then some. Derbies are about fans. Yes, I get that. They are always about fans. But did you see the emotion from the players in these matches? Did you see Clarence Goodson jump into the stands at Stanford Stadium? Did you see the Portland players egging on the Seattle away fans? And did you see what that victory at Yankee Stadium meant for the Red Bulls players? That is what it's all about, the combination of it all. MLS Rivalry Week, cheers to you, Major League Soccer, and come on, you Quakes. You gotta love it. Tony Meola with us tomorrow on World Soccer Talk Radio. Cannot wait.